You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
You certainly are, and welcome everybody. Always here in my new time and day, Mondays at noon. We are here on the couch with amazing guests and information about everything you want to know to improve your life, basically. And I have a question for you guys. How often, many times a day, do you say things like, and just don't have the energy to do something or to deal with conflict or daily stressors or certain personalities in our life or the workplace or whatever it is? But I don't think most of us realize how profound these words are. Because of how much physical, emotional, spiritual energy that we take on every day and how much it affects us. It's real. It's a thing. And we're going to find out more about it today on the couch, because my special guest is world-renowned energy healer, Randy Weitenheimer. He is a modern-day medicine man, martial artist, special forces trainer, remote viewing master, host of Gaia's Quantum Effect series, and on Gaia's Undisclosed series, of course, and all over the internet, you've seen him everywhere. Just put him up there, and he's talking to you about getting help and elevating your energy. He's also a proud member of the Potawatomi tribe of Tecumseh, Oklahoma, and so much more. And he's also the founder of Creative Energetic Health. And today we're talking about all things energy, and his latest book, War Day, A Guide to Self-Directed Energy Work. I'll give you all the information about his website and all that good stuff in just a bit. So let's bring him on the show and say hi. Hey, Randy. Nice to have you here.
A lot of fun to be here.
Cool. Well, I think we're going to have fun today. And pull me back if I go off track, because I tend to do that.
Sometimes. Oh, me too. So we'll have fun.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll find each other somewhere in the abyss of the brain functioning, right? So, yeah. But I just want to share my thanks to you, because I respect all the work you do and have done to help folks become healthier and happier and have higher energy. And of course, your new book, War Day, A Guide to Self-Directed Energy Work, is awesome. And I want to get into the specifics about your book in a little bit, but I don't know. So many humans don't realize how special and powerful we really are. Do we, Randy?
Well, really. It's we could differentiate everybody based on their energy level.
Yeah. You
know? Wow. And, you know, the classic way is, are you listening to me?
Hello?
Are you paying attention? and what we're saying is that your energy scattered. That was used to be the language.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In a worse form, we call them scatterbrained. Okay.
Yeah. And
old 60s term.
Sure.
And, like in the book, we take a look at, well, where all am I paying attention today?
Right.
And
right.
And we go, well, I pay attention to my emotions, my feelings, what I'm thinking and what people are saying and doing and what's going on in the world. And nowhere did we say I'm paying attention to myself.
That's true.
And so I set out to give people a way to pay attention to themselves.
Yes. Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So you take every day and divide up a couple of times a day in the morning and the evening, and guess what? You're important, and you get to pay attention to yourself independent of everybody and everything else. And if you can do that, we say you're going to increase or have a savings account of your own energy.
Yep.
That you've deposited to and contributed to on your own, independent of everybody and everything.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So you don't need a guru. I'm sorry. Yep. Right. Just need yourself.
We are the guru within.
Yes.
So beautiful. And I'd like to get more into that in your book, but I want to focus a little bit more on you. And in your book, you talk about the influence of your martial arts trainers, especially the one when you were 19 years old.
Yeah.
You began to really study the martial arts in depth. Can you share with us a little bit more about that? And you also talk about the warrior healer way of Shaolin Kung Fu and how it saved your life. Wow. Can you tell us that story and more about your teachers?
Yeah, the idea, they express it in Taoism and all kinds of different historical teachings, we'll call it, where the idea is you would be on a path, that you would accept a path or find a path. We call it finding a path forward. And in the ancient literature, it was just find a path. You didn't know where it was going to go or what was happening with it. So everything from the fool card and tarot to whatever points to this. And what it points to is that you don't know where you're going. And so since that's true, we don't know what I need to take with me. Okay.
Right.
And so there's two little aphorisms, a Lao Tzu teacher. One of them is a journey of 1,000 li, which means an infinite amount of time or distance. And the other one was, what are you going to take with you? And everybody would put gold and food and bullets. I don't know what all everything could be. And the truth of the matter is the only thing you take is knowledge. Okay. That's the only thing you take forward. And just like in the movie Lucy, it's also everything that you transmit or share with other people.
Right. Right.
So at 18, I was a rebellious and non-compliant child. We'll put it that way. Otherwise called feral.
Right. Uh-oh.
And, so I decided I need to learn how to fight better. And there's something wrong with that statement.
Right. It's not about fighting.
Yeah. And so I met Master George Ng, who teaches Shaolin Kung Fu.
Nice.
And just like that, he had to be here. He had to come from China, and just long stories, all of us, how we end up together. And I went to him in first class. He said, why do you want to study Kung Fu? I said, I want to learn to fight better.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll teach you to fight if you learn how to heal.
Oh,
and at that time, I didn't know that healing arts are a basic foundation for Kung Fu.
Lovely. Uh-huh.
And the outcome of all that we call Chinese energetic medicine, and we call it Qigong, Nigong, all the gongs are out there.
Right.
And so being naive and 18, I went, okay. The thing they didn't tell me is that learning Kung Fu physically, all the moves and stuff, is about 6 years of training.
Wow.
The next 40 is learning how to use that energy you develop to heal people.
Yes.
So Shaolin monks were very popular across China because they were healers.
Wow.
And of course, the fighting aspects of it was really just to develop your energy, your capacity, your knowledge of how energy works in the body by learning how it moves.
Yes.
And so movement becomes one of the first martial arts. I teach all this as a martial art. The first one's awareness. That's where we start paying attention. And the second one is balance. Yes. And so all the things we do should at some point end up where we come back to balance, like in the evening, let's say.
Wow.
And then we go to a moment in time where we have an option to move. And timing under heaven is the language I use.
I love
that. And what that means is you make a choice there. And then you go to movement and momentum and right on up. There's 10 of them. I call it 10 Suns Martial Arts.
Very cool.
And so a person can start developing the skills that they need to follow the path they're on. Not my path or Master Ng's.
Yes.
It's just anybody and anything you're doing, you should have more energy and more knowledge about what you, where you're going. How's that? And what you're taking with you. So that's it in a nutshell.
When you say taking with you, are you talking about the soul journey or are you talking about your future life?
Well, you accumulate experiences just like the show. And we say, well, is there something in there that's going to help you on your course forward?
Okay.
Remember that prophecy idea?
Yes.
We're continually prospecting for things that we think will help us do better. We call that the internet. all the FaceTime and all the other Facebook and everything.
Yep.
It's a constant looking for something that triggers a response in you. And here we go, that you have an energetic response to that moves you forward in some direction or another.
Yes.
Oh, I got all that right. So,
no, lovely.
Well, that's how you start Kung Fu or anything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you can set out to be president. We won't talk about that.
That's true. Yeah, we'll talk about manifestation too. Yeah, about 20 years ago, I decided something just said, you need a martial art. So after several years, not 9-8 years, like you, I got a black belt in Taekwondo.
Oh,
and my master was Bruce Oh. He was an elderly gentleman, but he was kind of like the angry Mr. Miyagi of Korea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he used to yell at me and say, "No, Michelle, good brain," you know, and it was, I was like more afraid of him than that I had to perform. But I get what you're saying about energy.
All martial arts get you out of your head. That's
yes.
Usually by getting hit in the head.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, we had our sparring days and it was.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I studied karate with Jack Wong. He was a 10th degree black belt.
Ooh, okay. Oh,
and,
no.
And he wasn't angry. He was mean.
Yeah, yes.
A lot of martial arts teachers are.
Yes, they are. You know, and it's kind of like they know that they'll teach you. But he also taught us Qigong as well, as is harnessing
energy, which is
what it was about. It wasn't about fighting. It was the Pumse of energy and all that cool stuff. But
but
it was also about fighting.
You learn about yourself.
Yes, you do. You really do. So anyway, just thought I'd share that. But anyway, so getting back to your War Day book in just a little bit. You segued into the energy healing because you learned that from your masters. And what also did you learn growing up with your wonderful tribe in Oklahoma? Did you have a lot of spiritual experience?
Yeah, we call that a different perspective. You know, number one is we, as Native Americans, are not apart from nature. We are a part of nature.
Right.
So the interrelationships and observations are different when you think that you're outside it.
Yeah.
So we call everything our cousins, the trees, the plants, the insects, the animals.
Cool.
And there's some basic understanding of being able to communicate with all of that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So to me, like my grandmother, I called her a cloud shaman. She could look at the clouds and tell you what the weather was going to be, or
I love it.
Like if changes were coming, and you know, my dad, let's go fishing.
Yeah,
we'd go fishing and be like up and down the riverbank, and we're catching 100 fish, and everybody else is catching 2 or 3.
Right.
And of course, the language of Native Americans: why would you go hunting when you can just go where the fish or the deer are?
Oh, yeah.
So that's a different relationship.
That is.
That's a different idea. It applies to plants. It applies to people. It applies to where you go. And that's a big, long subject.
Oh, boy, does it ever. You know, it really does. And I think, you know, they were the ancient quantum physicists. You know, that's how it all ties in.
So. Yeah. Well, yeah, because you're entangled with everything.
Yes.
You just have to filter it down to those things you can play with.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Let's jump into your book, War Day. Why did you call it War Day? And what's that all about?
Peace Day didn't seem to apply to the way most people go through life. That actually it does, but the problem is that everybody you know, if you're a therapist, everybody you know has a problem they're trying to deal with. And I've worked on thousands of people. I'm not supposed to say tens of thousands or whatever, but thousands of people will call it. And every one of them had a problem that they were unable to resolve at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I looked at that, they had problems that were physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, psychological, etheric, astral causal, dreams, nightmares, all over the spectrum. And so one of the things my teachers in martial arts said that I was not allowed to specialize.
Oh, okay.
That I had to be able to cover the whole spectrum.
Very cool.
And the same thing in weapons and a whole bunch of other stuff. So what I found is that because of the way I was when I was very young, I could change the energy field of another person.
I love that. Oh. I mean, how young?
Yeah, right. 8 years old.
There you go. There's that child brain that's so powerful.
By the time I was 16, I had people line up to hit my car at lunch to talk to me. And I'd listen to their problem, no matter what it was, and just change the energy. So
I love that. I love that. So you're changing the energy. You're just putting out your energy to help them.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And you have to have enough to influence that.
Okay. Right.
That's the key.
Right.
And so exercise like Qigong, Qigong, Nigong, all those, they help you develop an excess of energy.
Yes.
So that when you help somebody, you're not depleted. Okay.
Right.
And that's important. So what I found is everybody has problems that are going on that you know nothing about. And you wouldn't know anything about it unless they open up to you.
Right.
And so I learned what I call how to interrogate a person to their energy field or information field, I call it, to discover what's really going on with a person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And so if you combine calibration, combine the ability to interrogate another person's energy field, you can basically find out everything that's ever happened to them, everything that's going on, all the potentials, all the directions, and what I call incoherence that an average human is. So.
Yes. Yes. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. I imagine that it's kind of, you know, it's work and it's what you were gifted, would you say gifted with, that we can all acquire, but you just were in tune with that when you were a little guy and able to know when things were not going to happen, when everyone else said they were, and read everybody in the room. And we're super hyper vigilant to the energy that each person is putting out, not only based on, you know, body language, you know, but basically.
It's just you contain an information field. We'll call it your energy field or information field. Uh-huh. And we'll say you exist on about a 3-foot bubble and of that information, and you can sit there and poke at it and find out things because you're going to get a response. Well, right. We do that verbally.
Yes.
But what about the things that are in your subconscious or unconscious or non-conscious? You don't.
Oh, yeah.
So somebody like me, I can sit outside of it and take a look and go, hey, this is what's going on. This is when it happened.
Yep.
What we're going to do is reverse the polarity of it so that everything goes away. Now, what goes away? All the problems you have are a problem of memory.
Right.
Okay. And if the memory holds emotion, then you have a problem because you're continually feeding it and draining yourself.
Right. Exactly.
And so if you take the energy of the emotion out of the event, it's just something that happened 10 years ago or 30 years ago. And so that's the therapy, is to get rid of everything that is draining you of energy.
Wow.
Because you're still emotionally involved with things that happened in your life. So
yes, exactly. So In other words, we become an observer of what's in there and what happened, because we have these flashbulb moments of whatever they may be, positivity or trauma, that we can bring out, hopefully, from our subconscious. But we're becoming the observer and kind of standing back. And so pretend one of the tools of PTSD is watch this guy, who's you or girl, in the movie that you're creating or have created, and just observe what kind of movie is this. What do you see? But that takes a lot of training. But
you have to be neutral to be able to do that. Otherwise, the people won't share the information.
Right.
When they know you're non-judgmental.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Then they're willing to open up a little bit. I've worked on PTSD people with great success.
Oh, that's
and the reason is they have memories that are so freaking charged with energy that they bleed over into reality.
And right.
If you shut that down, sometimes I block it, but most times just take the energy out of it.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing. You take the energy out of you have a burn or something, a cut, and you're like, and then you like, you try to get rid of whatever that response was, because your body will go ahead and heal itself.
Yes.
So PTSD is one of those things. I've tried to tell Department of Army and other people.
Yes.
They know I do this, but it just freaks them out.
And they see results. So
so I thought I would sneak in the back door by writing More Day and give people a chance to improve themselves.
Oh, okay. I love that. Sneak in the back door. Well, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. A lot of this modern medicine doesn't deal with. And I think it's important to take a broader view of things. You should do those things that help you.
Okay? Yes.
And More Day is things I've discovered that help a great majority of my clients over a long period of time.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's lovely. Well, what you do is you focus. Folks, if you really should get the book, by the way. It's enlightening. And a lot of people say, oh, guide to self-directed energy work. No woo here, folks.
No.
Real. Based on science. Real stuff. Very simple instructions and scientific information that Randy brings you, and also how he has healed certain people. And I want to talk about that with certain illnesses that were as designated by doctors.
Right.
Unhealable.
Yes. Yeah. It's and like that, I agree. They were unhealable by the techniques available to those doctors.
That's right. Now,
I demonstrated that a couple of times with a group of doctors. They didn't appreciate it. But you know, if you grew up in China, you have a different idea of what constitutes medicine and health.
Yes.
You grew up in France. If you grew up here, we are back to, you know, whatever 30-mile country you've wandered into. You know? And the healing practices in South Louisiana and Oklahoma and Arizona, and they're all different. And yet they all address problems that are kind of universal.
Yes. So, yes, they do. And based on going within, and you can heal yourself.
Yes.
And many times rather than traditional medicine. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just profound. So there are 8 chapters, basically, folks. So I don't want to do any spoiler stuff here, folks, and because I want you to get the book. But there are 8 chapters which focuses on one technique each. Right. And they're simple, breathing, hydration, meditation, etc. And we'll talk about those things too. And then you have your after action reports, which share how you have healed certain people, which were, as I mentioned, beyond healing. But you miraculously took that energy within them and taught them these techniques. So I love the way at the beginning, and it's kind of a no-brainer, but it's profound. I mean, we all go, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You say the first lesson is that you cannot benefit another at the expense of yourself.
Yes.
right?
Yes.
For over 18 years that I've been doing this show, I just at the end of each show, I always say, do take care of yourself first,
yes,
and then you will be good to heal, help others. So it's kind of like, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Basically.
It's recognize every day that you've been busy. That's it. And if we know that because we replay everything, you know, went on and going on and everything else. But remember, it's like, okay, the work is over. Well, before I start a home life or vice versa or anything else, why can't I take some time and kind of like go, okay, you did good today. I don't care what you did. And why don't you take a few minutes and kind of come back to yourself?
Right.
And I know this. I tell you how I learned that. I was running some big construction jobs for General Motors. Uh-huh. And if I came home directly from the job site, I tended to talk to my wife as a employee. And guess what? That's not good at all.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah. So somebody said to me, and I don't know who it was, why don't you take a break before you come home? So yeah. I would call home and say, do you need any bread or anything? If they didn't need anything, I would stop at the gas station anyway.
Yeah.
Buy some gas, go in, wander around. And what happened is I took all the charge I was carrying from work.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't take it home with me.
Awesome. Okay. That's great. Smart,
so,
man.
When I got home, I was able to go, hi, how are you?
Steve. Perfect.
And be present in the moment because I had gotten rid of that charge.
Right.
Because everybody at work stresses.
Sure.
You rarely hear somebody goes, oh, I had such a happy day at work.
Yeah, right. Ugh.
And so even though they still need to read the book, but so the idea was that there's something we're missing, which is paying attention to ourselves. We want other people to pay attention to us. Mm-hmm. Go on YouTube. But I want people to pay attention to themselves enough that now I want to pay attention to them. Mm-hmm. Without the negativity or without the trauma and the drama and everything else, it makes life fun. So
sure.
I just want to relate to that person.
So. Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. So if we could briefly go through just the topics of each of your 8 chapters, you know, and just talk about the importance of each one. We don't have to go, you know, deeply, only if you want, and that would be awesome. So number one, you talk about the importance of having a routine. And I know a lot of people say, oh, God, I have to do these. Blah, blah, blah. It's not what you're talking about necessarily, right? Why is it to do that?
I think the Russian mafia calls it integrity. And what that means is if I say I will do something, I do it. If I give you my word, that's it. That's the truth of it.
Yes.
So in martial arts, we say your routine will save you.
Mm-hmm.
So what we say is that no matter how crazy the world gets or the universe or you, if you can devote the time to return to your routine, you will find some base level to relate to the universe from.
Yes.
And the base level is finding your own identity. And that's where that comes in. So a basic routine, I've given dozens, I've done dozens. I mean, I did a meditation for 3 years straight, every night, 11:30 to 12:30.
Love it.
I don't know most people that'd be that crazy. Okay.
But, Zen masters.
but that is discipline. Because what I said, I didn't care if what happened.
Yep.
I didn't care what was going to happen. I did 11:30 to 12:30. I ended the day and started the day in the same way.
Lovely.
And it was a 1 hour meditation. It's a mantra meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And I would wake up and I was ready to involve myself in the world every day.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, I was ready to uninvolve myself.
Yes.
And so that kind of discipline, I give another one where you get up in the morning and do all these things. that's a basic routine I give everybody is pick a time to get up, say 6, 6:30, 7, 4:30, I don't care. And then pick a time to go to bed. And then see if you can do that for 40 days. And the reason we give it is in 40 days, the universe will conspire to make sure you don't fulfill your routine, which is keeping your word to yourself.
Yes.
And if you can keep your word to yourself, then when somebody says, hey, can I call you today at 1 o'clock? The answer is yes. And you accept the truth of it because I'm telling the truth based on the fact that I've been able to maintain a routine that allows me to be truthful.
Yes.
That's so that your discipline will save you. It means no matter how crazy, no matter who left or who divorced or got married, you still required to be yourself to interact with everything.
Yes. That's beautiful.
That explains that. All the exercises and chapters are progressive. So we're given the minimums there to get people started.
Sure.
But and everybody's welcome to call me because I'll explain it.
I love it. Well, you're in trouble. You're in trouble now. Yeah. How about email you?
That emails, phone calls. It shocks people. I generally answer my phone.
I think
unless I'm really busy. So there.
No, exactly. And that's beautiful. And that's who you are. It's beautiful. Yeah. So the routine, of course, also part of the routine, getting up in the morning, and I've been really more conscious of this, and I thank you for that.
Yeah.
The breath.
Wow.
You say that breathing is one of the most important topics of our existence because we don't do it.
One of my yoga teachers said, you inhale when you're born and you exhale when you die. And every day is inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
But the language I use is who taught you how to breathe.
Yep.
And I didn't know that was something I should know. But I started some Kundalini yoga classes and pranayama classes in L.A. when I was very young, 20s. And I found out like there was 80 different ways to breathe, you know, and each of them produce a different effect on the body. They produce a different effect on the energy level you have.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You could. And it goes back to martial arts where the first thing you learn to do is control your body temperature and your respiration rate.
Right.
So it all intertwines.
Yes.
And so breathing is something that it's a something to learn and something you can become disciplined at and develop like a martial art.
Right.
And it gets into some fantastic potential that you can express.
Yes.
Because you're building an inner field that's able to interact with the other people, yourself, the world, whatever.
Sure.
What it means. So.
My God. And all the other implications physiologically.
Yeah.
Putting that oxygenation into your brain and your body and your cells, lowering your blood pressure and your heart rate and everything, your sweat, everything that breathing does for us. It's just kind of know how to do it. Offer several different methods.
Yeah.
Whatever feels good for you. That bull breathing kind of got to me a little bit.
Yeah.
So I kind of segued to a little judge.
Yeah. It's like I said, you can literally play with yourself. Okay.
Sure.
One of the things I found fascinating is that I had clients that weren't able to lose weight.
Yes.
And that was one, but two was that they gained weight, not necessarily by eating anything.
Right.
And so when I started exploring that, I found out that their CO2 levels were too high. Like you sleep at night or during the day, if you breathe through your mouth or shallow breathing,
right.
You retain CO2 and the body has a unique process where it converts CO2 to sugars and the sugars into fat. So you didn't even have to eat and you can sit there and gain weight.
Oh my God.
Now, what's the antidote is to deep breathing.
Yes.
Where you're actually expelling the CO2 and not giving your body a chance to convert it into sugars. So
it's all science.
So you see, you find out things when you start playing with all this.
Hello. So. Yeah, exactly. I love the story about it was so dramatic about Marilyn and how you helped heal her with her failing lungs. She was waiting for a lung transplant, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And she's still alive. So yeah, that freaked the doctors out. It's a therapy I learned in martial arts that you don't necessarily want to apply to people. I won't explain it on the radio or TV.
Okay. Yeah.
Basically, you're forcing a person to choose life.
Wow. Yes. Right.
So if we think of illness as a way to choose not life,
right,
then sometimes that process to choose life involves going through some pain.
Okay. Yes, it does.
There's a Japanese term for it, and literally means to choose life.
Mm.
So,
yes.
So I applied that technique because she was going to have a double transplant anyway.
Oh, my gosh. But she didn't have one. She didn't need one.
Immediately after the technique, she could inhale deep all the way into her belly. And before, all she could do is inhale about here.
Oh, my gosh.
So we say the lungs weren't available to her.
Oh, there you go.
And then now we get into the mental, which is relationships and emotions and all kinds.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So all these components are present in everybody.
Right. Boy, is it ever. They're all, but it's really coming down to these basic principles and being the manager of one, being your own warrior and master. So hydration is another one that is so vital. We all read and they have all these ads online about the plastics. Yeah, about this and that. You got to put hydrogen in your water now. It's like, what? Most of us really don't know about how vital hydrogen is.
Well, everybody you see running around with a 65-gallon water tank, you know, you don't need it. And the reason I can say that is all intake is subjective.
Yes.
It's not how much you take, whether it's food, water, anything. It's how much can you process.
Yes.
And so if you don't process the water, obviously you get rid of it.
Yeah, sure.
And if you process it, you get rid of it through the skin, we call sweating, alimentary tract, we pee it out. Mm-hmm. And theoretically, at that point, all the entire cells of the body are hydrated. And that's not true because we hold tension, right? We hold dynamic tension in the body. We hold dynamic tension usually because of emotional events. Here we go again. See?
Yep.
So when you tell somebody they should be hydrated, it's also saying they should relax a little bit. But we're not allowed to say that to wives or anybody. Just relax. It's a joke.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to relax, okay?
Yeah, so telling somebody to relax would be to relax the cells so they can accept the water or accept the nutrients or the sugars or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so hydration, somebody came up with that 8 ounces at a time or 80 ounces a day, or you should drink a gallon according to body.
Right. Came up with
and
that.
None of it applies to you. You should find out what works for you. That's the ideal.
Okay.
That's why it's all subjective.
Yes.
So we ran around in the 100-degree heat all summer and basically found a water hose somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody carried a water bottle. That was just like insane. And but I love it. You know, 32-ounce, 64-ounce water bottles. You know, I swear they're going to put one of those tanks like you see on the landscapers pretty soon.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
I got my water, right?
Got my water. I'm cool. I'm good. It's like, you can overhydrate. Hello. Yeah. Years ago, my husband was up for the Moscow Olympics. He was a runner. Yeah. And he drank a little too much water all the time. dehydrated.
Oh, you can hurt yourself.
Yes.
You can really hurt yourself drinking too much.
Yep.
I think that's what's going on. A lot of people, from what I've observed, way too much water their intake. And, of course, the entire whatever community goes nuts with that because they've been indoctrinated and need all this water. All right? You need as much as you can utilize today.
Yep.
There. Okay? So.
Boy, is that true.
Oh, water mouth.
That's right. People say drink only when you're thirsty.
Yeah. Second martial art, balance, water balance. There we go. Yeah.
Yes, that's right, balance. That's exactly right. By the way, in case you just tuned in, I'm talking with the famous Randy Weitheimer, and he is a master of everything. We're talking about his latest book, War Day. No, it's not about fighting. It's none of that stuff. It's about the war within, a guide to self-directed energy work and how to take care of yourself, how to heal yourself, how to use the tools that he has used forever, that he's learned to become a master to heal others. So we're just talking about, all of the chapters and everything that, is so important. So we've talked about the importance of routine and breath, hydration. Oh boy, here comes a difficult one. Flexibility.
Oh yeah.
I'd love to talk about how you helped heal Helen, who'd been through more trauma in her life than most people, but also what are the benefits? I mean, we all know, we all do our stretches and our, but there, it goes way beyond that. Right, Randy?
Yes. Let's see. Sun salutations is a set of exercises that basically allow you to pay attention to the movements of your body. And so we could go through one, about 10 or 12 moves. And then if we did them kind of like every day, we could start noticing if there was a difference in each of those movements.
Ooh.
And we would say, well, if you're better at it, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is that when you're a baby, of course, your bones aren't exactly formed, so you're extremely flexible.
Mm-hmm.
Foot, the forehead, all that stuff. So flexibility is something we tend to lose over time.
Yep.
Now, remember, we can have flexibility in the body, and that's what most people want to talk about.
Sure.
How about flexibility in your emotions? How about flexibility in, your whatever we call it, soul, or there's just all these different areas where we could practice different things in the same way that we practice sun salutations. Okay.
Right.
And the whole object of all this is to develop a certain degree of resilience.
Yes.
The ability to squeeze the ball and let go, and it all goes back to its original form. And practice properly, you basically go out of aging.
Mm.
And in other words, it kind of goes on hiatus in that you're not going to progress in age as fast as somebody who isn't doing these exercises.
Right.
So another thing with War Day, I don't talk about it, but I look at all the people talk about anti-aging, and everything in this book is anti-aging.
Yes.
Because if you can maintain flexibility, I'm 77, 8 years old.
No, you're not.
I can still put my feet, hands.
No, you're not.
Palms on the floor. I can still do sun salutations, all these things.
Mm.
Why? Because I practiced them for 50 years. And if I hadn't done that, I can tell you, I don't think that I would be in the shape I am, which I consider pretty good shape.
Yes. Amazing. And you give all different ways to understand what that's about. Learn flexibility.
Mental flexibility, which is relationships, emotional, how you deal with yourself, basically.
Right.
And life itself. So there.
Yes. No, beautiful. And you also talk about the importance, and not to get deep into each one, because I know we're a little limited on time here, because I have a few more other questions about quantum physics, too. Maybe we can touch on.
Okay.
You also talk about the importance of grounding.
Yes.
Meditation.
Yeah.
Nutrition.
Grounding is, in electrical theories, get rid of a charge. Okay. And grounding is that if you took a big charge, you would ground it, would go into the ground, and you would be relatively unaffected. Okay. So the idea of that's very entertaining. It's very, very much engulfing of what I need to do every day to get rid of the charges I develop mentally, emotionally, physically, all these different things. And
yes.
What were the other two? I'm sorry, I get lost.
Oh, meditation and nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Meditation is to go exploring. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very popular right now to call it remote viewing. No, it's to always used to say, open your mind and see what shows up.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. He woke up, get your ego out of the way. And
and whatever shows up, remember non-judgment again, but we can just decide if we want more or less of it. And and that in truth is being neutral and being able to deal with all the positive and negative aspects of your own consciousness. So
yes.
And yes. What's the last one?
Oh, nutrition. We're talking, and we're not, you know, we hear hundreds of.
Yeah, nutrition falls in that category of water. You need to eat as much as you need to eat, and you need to eat as much as you can process today.
Yes.
So most people, if you look at, say, your dining experiences after 5 p.m., mm-hmm. what are you going to do with that steak, or what are you going to do with that big dinner or that pizza? It's 5 o'clock. You're not going anywhere. You know, right. Or 6 o'clock or seven at 9 o'clock, you're going to eat something. And then what, you know, you're not going to process it. And so what you've done is create a burden for the next day or night.
Right.
And if you get behind on that over a period of days, weeks, months, years, you can gain weight that you can't get rid of.
My goodness, yes.
And that's where a lot of people are.
Yeah,
okay.
A lot of people are doing that fasting thing about, you know, what?
Oh, yeah.
The 12-hour. And,
So the idea, like, the what is it, the GLP and all these people.
Oh, right. Oh, God.
Yeah. It's like you have not resolved the problem.
Right.
You've turned around and made a change that didn't address an underlying issue.
Yes.
And sense agitation and breathing and water and hydration and grounding, all those things is to address the base level programs so that ultimately you don't need that.
So true.
And as a result, you don't get the side effects of all the different things that they throw at us now.
Yeah.
GLP, all these things.
Yeah, sure. So, man, we're getting... No, perfect. You're great. No, it's wonderful. We're getting a little close to wrapping up here, unfortunately. So we'll have to do this again and get into other stuff. So, what is the best way folks can get in touch with you and find out more about you?
Okay. I'm on YouTube and Instagram. I have somebody help me with all that. And Facebook. And I do interviews. I've got a bunch of them that are out there. Gaia TV has been excellent.
Great show.
Quantum Effect.
Yep.
And Energy Doctor, spelled with a K, at me.com is my email. Mm-hmm. My phone number is 202-904-9560.
You are in such trouble.
I'm putting out there. I laugh because I have clients that I've had for years that started out with hello, and they go, I can't believe you answered your phone. Nobody answers their phone. I said,
right, it's true.
I want to talk to people, right? I want to find out what they know, because that might help me or help somebody else.
Oh, bless your heart. That's amazing. And thank you for all you do, and bless you for having those gifts and just expanding on them so much so you can be a light unto the world.
Yeah.
And here's the book. There it is. You got to check it out. War Day, A Guide to Self-Directed Energy Work. Yeah. I read it. It is, I'm doing so much more now. I think my brain's improved by doing this a week with the breathing and the hydration and everything. I don't think I know. Maybe it's placebo, but I don't think so.
Yeah, but
it's not placebo.
Warbaybook.com.
It's the real deal.
That's the other thing, right? So,
thank you. Anyway, I'm so sorry.
I wanted to be able to help as many people as possible, and I thought if I could give them an introduction to how to do that for themselves, that I would have accomplished a great thing in life. So there.
You've accomplished, bless you. You've accomplished many things in life. And I'm so happy you came out with this book.
Well, thank you.
Valuable reading and wise guidance for everyone. Yeah. So, all righty, Randy. Thank you again for being on the couch here.
Yeah. Come up with a bunch of questions and call me. We'll have fun.
You got a deal. Oh, you're in trouble. Like I said, I've got lots of questions.
So. Yeah, we could even talk about other people.
Cool.
So everybody needs help. So there you go.
There you
I
go.
I appreciate it.
And, you're so welcome.
Enjoyed talking with you.
You so, too, Randy. Have a blessed day.
You too.
All right, everybody. What a great interview. Thanks again, Randy Vitenheimer. And as I always say at the end of my show, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be good to help other people. And that's the way it works in the world. Elevate your energy, because that is the bottom line. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you next week here on the couch. Bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.